the Oakdale Christian Centre podcast. In this first study of 2025, Dave looks into worship. The main reading is Hebrews chapter 12.
Wondering what to start off with this year, and it was good to realise why we're here, isn't it? We can have many understandings, and if you talk to people in church and other churches, they may say, well, I'm here for this, I'm here for that, and forget the main thing, the real thing. And that's what we need to go back to, obviously the Word, the early church, why, and the Bible, of course, the beginning of time. Why on earth are we here? Why? What are we created for? Why do we come to church primarily? And why do we gather together? And one of the catechisms, Westminster Catechism, says man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And if there's anything we need to do, we should be doing, is worshipping him, knowing our God, standing in awe of him. Because we were created for that, we were built for that, that's what we are. And of course, if we don't worship God, something else will always take its place. That's why the Bible calls idolatry, didn't it? Something taking God's place, where we invest our time, our energy, our money, everything is focused on that. And we know that's part of our nature right from the beginning of time. The devil understood that he could lure us away, divert us. And when Paul begins his book of Romans, his treatise on salvation and why we're saved, what are we saved from, he begins to tell us our nature, doesn't he? Romans 1 and Romans 2 tells us what are we alike. Let's read that straight away. We get a picture of what we are like. Romans 1, 18 to 25.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which they may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lusts of his own hearts, to dishonour their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed for evermore. Amen.
Amen. So there was the key to it all. They worshipped the created instead of the Creator. And that's because inbuilt into us there's a longing to... longing, obviously, for relationship, fellowship, and purpose. We looked at those before: significance, security, acceptance. All those things we are looking and searching for. We will find it, or we will look for it and search for it. And instead of God, and of course, he gives again a pattern: their futility without wisdom. Wisdom says there's a great God that created everything. Yeah. But is he beyond our reach, beyond our understanding? No, well, Jesus, the Bible said Jesus came down. So we have all those, again, there's revelations, don't we? General creation, conscience, Christ, showing us God is the creator, but he longs to be known, longs to be worshipped, longs to be loved and served. And so futility without wisdom, that leads to foolishness without understanding, and of course, ends up with filthiness, doesn't it? God gave them over to the things, to do what they wanted, to think that would satisfy their lives. Well, let's a couple of quotes for worship. Some little ones, some longer ones. I like this one. Spurgeon, wash your face every morning in a bath of praise. I like that one. A drop of praise is unsuitable acknowledgement for an ocean of mercy. I like that one. When we think, oh, I don't feel like praising. A drop of praise is unsuitable acknowledgement for an ocean of mercy. The mercy we received should cause us to adore him and praise him and worship him. Christian worship, another theologian said, is the most momentous, the most urgent, the most glorious action that can take place in a human life. Why? Because it's not just affects our emotion, it affects us spiritually. It's a spiritual act which is dramatically more important, more great than ever before, than anything else. Another guy, William Temple, isn't this guy? The world can be saved, it's interesting, by one thing, and that is worship. For to worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, to open the heart to the love of God, and to devote the will to the purpose of God. See, the problem is, again, we've understood worship as that, maybe the few hours we're in church, or maybe that beginning of church where we sing. And of course, we misunderstand that worship is not an act, it's a lifestyle. The words behind worship, of course, there are those words where in New Testament, where we bow down, that's one of the words, means to bow down in reverence, of course, to honour him. He's the one to be worshipped. I think another guy said, this is a really good quote. We see throughout the Bible that when someone in antiquity encountered the holy God, the experience was usually uniform, the same. To a person, they stood quaking in terror, trembling before the Most High God. They were frightened, they were humble, they were disintegrated. They certainly never bored. How is it possible then that people say church is boring if God is there? Mm-hmm. If God is really there, he's awesome, isn't he? He's the awesome God. And so next one is to that feeling of awe, that feeling of respect. But the other one, it's interesting, because if you read Romans 12, you'll see it there in different versions. One says worship, one says service. And what he's trying to say is that our whole life is a act of worship. Where we serve him, that's all our lives. And we just delve into that. But Jesus is looking for that. The Lord is looking for people to be intimate. See, when we were created for that, the Bible says Adam and Eve walked with the Lord in the cool of the day, talking over the day. It's a beautiful picture of spending time with him, loving him, just talking with him. Again, we've forgotten that, and sometimes we come, there's nothing wrong with the list. We've got to have a list. It's good to keep our minds focused. Just some days, just put your list aside and just tell him you love him. Tell him you worship him. Just thank him. No request, just thank him that day. Lord, I just want to agree. You're my Father. Amazing. The great I am. But the Lord seeks that. John 4. 21:24.
Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth."
So again, the inclination, the Lord is giving us an insight there. You worship what you do not know. So there's again an innate something within us that looks to worship, looks for something bigger, something to adore, something to pin their hopes on. And Jesus said, look, it's not a place. It's a person, of course. And it's spiritual. So that's why we need to be born again. We'll look at that in a moment. It's something spiritual. It's with that third part of our being, that spirit, which of course before the Lord's cut off, before we are saved. And it's sincere. And I got a couple of examples to finish off, and that's interesting. Sincerity. God looks for that, doesn't he? Because he castigates the Jews for being with their lips. The Pharisees, they had all the words, didn't they? See me, they had all the words, lovely, but he said their lives didn't match their words. And even in the Old Testament, he said, why are you coming to me? He said, you're coming and saying, oh yeah, we worship you, Lord. This is the temple of all, this is the temple of the Lord. He said, and then you go out and start burning to idols and worshipping. He said, you nuts, he said, ridiculous. He said, how dare you? And it is ridiculous. Let me just say, although the Lord is seeking worshippers, And again, it's not what he can get. He doesn't need anything from us. And it's not necessary for what we get. Because if he doesn't give us anything, he's still worthy of our worship, isn't he? Because of who he is and what he's done. And now he does bless us and pours it. But again, we've got in our mindset, oh, the Lord didn't answer that prayer. The Lord didn't give me that. Look, he don't have to give us anything. If he doesn't give it us, we worship it anyway. He's worthy. Now, the devil is also looking for worshippers, isn't he? That's his heart. That's what pride lifted, and that's how he fell. Let's look at that. Luke 4, 5, temptation of Jesus, of course. Luke 4, 5 to 8.
The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.
There we are. If he can challenge Jesus and try and dupe Jesus into worship. And of course, again, remember, he's not, when he comes, he's sneaky, he's bringing things, isn't he? Things that we want, things that we desire, whether it's fame or fortune, all those things, he puts in our path and said, look, if you give yourselves to me or to these things, I'll give you all these things. And it's bribery and corruption, and you do this and I'll do that. Not with the Lord, of course. And many, many over the years, and we, famous people we know of, have sold their soul to the devil. I'd laugh. I was watching down to see Jackie's mum today, and it was my conversation. She fell asleep after 10 minutes. What do you say, like you're preaching? Be careful now, no need of that. And they put an Elvis Presley film on when it actually was first film. He wasn't even heading on it. And I'm thinking, he sold his soul. Sold his soul to the devil. Grew up in church, should have stayed with the Lord. And his last days, I remember a minister going to see him, and he said, I'm lost, he said. He knew he was lost, because that which he should have given to the Lord, he gave for 42 years of age. Big, nothing, is it? 42 years of all the fame and fortune, all the thing, doesn't mean a thing. But the devil is good at that, and he longs for worship. So there is a battle going on. We'll read in a moment, a couple of verses on how even when he doesn't get our worship, he wants us to distract us from worshiping God, giving our lives to him. Well, let's look at the early church. There's a pattern here. Acts 2, we know these verses well. Acts 2, 42, 47.
They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved.
So there's a pattern here, and we'll look at the pattern next few weeks. But the pattern, the first pattern, they worshipped, they praised. And it wasn't just an offering, it was very twice, it says there, daily. It was something they did. It was a daily thing, wasn't it? It wasn't just. And in fact, they gathered daily. And of course, to come once a week is hard work. But the Bible is very clear. Then it was a continued. And I love this word, continually devoted. It was enduring. There was a steadfastness. There was a faithfulness. There was a tarrying. And that's what we've lost that in this generation, or maybe in my generation as well. Last week we looked at that previous generation. There was something within them. There was sacrifice. In fact, the word sacrifice didn't come up because that was their lifestyle. They grew, they ate. Their cupboards were generally bare. Money was at a premium, but that was their lifestyle. That was so sacrifice. Yeah, that's our life. But today everything is our right, isn't it? I've got a right for this. It's not fair. Well, I remember someone preaching years ago, Life's not fair, he said, but God is good. Yeah. And that can be true sometimes, can be very true. But there's our pattern. There was a continual devotion, first and foremost, to the Lord, to worshipping. Why? Because he is worthy, an act of worth, isn't it? Worship, worthiness. He is worthy. He is worthy. And ultimately, what are we created for? Thankfully, again, the Bible from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, it's clear what God the Lord desires and demands in our life. And then they question Jesus. So we can have it underlined. Matthew 22, 35, 40.
One of the Pharisees, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments.
Very clear, isn't it? When we talk about the Lord and our walk with him, it's our whole life is. It's not part, is it? Now, give 10, 15, 20% of the Lord. No, holy, he demands our whole life. And why not? Why not? He's God and he's our Redeemer. He's a creator and redeemer. He desires it, delights in it, demands it. He deserves it. He deserves our all. And to love him with all our heart, with our mind, of course, that's getting our mind focusing on him. And that we can do that quite we need to do it readily and regularly, because otherwise our mind is amazing how where our mind is. Some things you think, why am I thinking that nonsense? Mm-hmm. And it takes you down a road. You think, what on earth is this? Get a hold of your mind, fill it with the word, fill it with the, you know, choruses, and get you can do that. Get your attention on the Bible. It says, grab a hold of your mind, renew your mind. We looked at a guy who was reading the Bible every day, but he said he got hold of a verse as well every day. Get hold of a verse, get hold of a characteristic of the Lord or a name of God. Just dwell on that and bring it back to you. And of course, you know, meditation means to chew the cud, bring it back to your memory during the day. Our mind, our affections. Hallelujah. Tell him you love him. Hallelujah. Tell your wife all the time, don't we? And your kids. Yeah. Even when she... No. Isn't it? How much more the Lord? Tell him you love him. And again, we've been infiltrated with that sort of Greek thinking where, oh, you know, we worship with our mind. No. Get your hands up. Get your hands up and worship him. Bow the knee. These are all things that are physical. They don't mean much without the spiritual, but they do mean a lot when spiritually, because we are just expressing what's going on in our hearts. So we do lift our hands, we do go on our knees, we even go prostrate sometimes. Why? Because if we, as we just read, if we had a real face-to-face with the Lord, Isaiah the great prophet said, oh, I'm finished. He said, and he was on his prostrate before the Lord, of course. He said, I'm unclean, I'm filthy, Lord. So, but he longs to be loved. We are created for love, of course, love for him first and foremost, and for those around us. But again, never forget, get that right first. As we said on Sunday, if you're loving the Lord, if he's first in your life, these relationships are always, always better. Why? Because I can love the unlovely. I'm more patient. I'm more kind, of course. And the fruit of the Spirit is, why? Because I mean, that's my first port of call. And what do we say? We become like those we are with. Well, ultimately, real worship cannot be in the flesh per se, can it? It starts with us reconnecting my spirit to him. That dead spirit needs to be regenerated, alive. Philippians 3, 1-3.
My brothers and sisters, be full of joy in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it will help you to be more ready. What shall the nation do evil, who are like dogs who insist on cutting the body? You are the ones who are truly circumcised. We worship God through the Spirit, and our pride is in Christ Jesus. We do not put trust in ourselves or anything we can do.
Yes, born again. We worship by the spiritual. So God enables us to worship him and reconnect with him. And that's why our conscience, our spirit is alive. That's why we know the Holy Spirit convicts us, challenges us, prompts us, leads, directs us. Oh, Father, help us to worship him. Not get distracted. The devil is great at distracting us. Our devotion, simple. Thankfully, it isn't nothing to do with intellect, is it? Not difficult. What about these verses? 2 Corinthians 11, 1 to 3.
I hope you have put up with a little of my foolishness, but you are already doing that. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I'm afraid, just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ.
Simple, sincere devotion to Christ. The devil would love us to get distracted. He's an expert in it. To look here, to look there. He did it with the Jews, didn't he? Right through the Old Testament. Jesus comes to earth. His great pain, I suppose. And what made him angry, we talked about what made him angry, but his greatest anger was reserved for the temple and for the religious people. It should have been a place where you met the Lord, where you worshipped the Lord, where you could commune with God. But what they turned it, they got distracted through ritual and rites. And of course, the church down through the years have got distracted by ritual. And the only ritual we have in one sense is breaking of bread. And we've got to be careful there. It doesn't become a ritual. It's the reality of it. Distracted by that and by this. Of course, it became a thoroughfare. They were ripping people off. It became a place of a den of robbers. And of course, when we get distracted, worship gets diluted. And then it gets distorted to what we want it to be. And of course, then we're open to being deceived. And where it wasn't a place. And then that's all it was a place of sacrifice and not real encounter with the Lord. And the Lord says, be careful. And he's talking to the church, a simple devotion to Christ, easily distracted, easily diverted, and instead of being caught up with him. Someone said the worship of God defined is this, broadly defined, regarded as direct acknowledgement of God in all his nature, his attitude, his word, his will, his ways, then reflected in our words, our ways, our works, our will. Absolutely his. And again, so many things can distract us, divert us, but all start the day, every day, isn't it? Lord, here I am. Start the day with you. Surrender to you. Lord, there's going to be times in today that I'm going to have to die to myself. Isn't it? Pick up my cross today. There's going to be times. And thankfully yesterday, you helped me do it yesterday. But today, oh Lord, there's going to be things cropping up where I want to go this way. I want to say this. I want to do that. But Lord, you are going to say, Dave, that's not what I want you to do. Certainly that's not what I want you to say. And that's day by day as an act of worship. Why? Because we know he knows best. And we are loving him. We are adoring him. And that's all we want to do is please him. What did Paul say? I make it my aim and my ambition to please the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, again, let's go just quickly dip into the etiquette of worship and adoration in the Old Testament. Let's read Psalm 100. We know it very well, but it's worth remembering.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Into his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Yeah, there's a pattern there. There's reasons why we do all those things. And it can be sometimes noisy. We shout for joy. You know, if we can't shout for joy, the Lord saved us. We're in trouble, aren't we? And of course, the thing is, the longer we are saved, the more complacent we become, because we, you know, that's what it is. But again, to remind ourselves, with our mind, love the Lord with your mind. Remind yourself, this is what I was, and that's what I love Paul, he said, this is what I was, right at the end of his life. He said, I was the filthiest of sinners. I was a blasphemer. I was a murderer. I was this. But look what the Lord has done. Remembering, without him, we are lost. Without him, where would we be tonight? Goodness knows what to think of that. But who enter his gates with thanksgiving, then his courts with praise. Then we right into the presence of God to worship him and to adore him in his presence. We are seeing his faithfulness. We are seeing his goodness and his love. Psalm 96, 7 and 9.
Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. For worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth.
Yeah, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That's an interesting thing. It could be the garments, the array. But remember who we're coming to. Who is God? And that's why in the Old Testament he says the worship and the offerings with no yeast or honey, because obviously yeast was a reflection of that which was tainted, and honey would not stand the fire. And it really represents no hypocrisy, sincere, and nothing hidden, open to God. Now remember, the devil will whisper in our ears, how are you worshipping God, David? Look at your life. Look what you did yesterday. Look what you said today. And of course, that's his job, isn't it? Distracting us from worship. And the Lord says, yes, I know that. What's the antidote? Lord, I'm sorry. Dear me. I'm sorry if I did this. I said that. I confess my sin. Bless the Lord. Now I'm right in. Now I'm worshipping. I can come and worship him and adore him. Why? Because I've got rid of the yeast. I've got rid of the hypocrisy. I'm not standing there saying, yes, I'm lovely. You know, like the Pharisee. And Lord, I'm better than that tax collector. No. Tax collector said, Lord, I'm really sorry. Don't deserve to be here, but I know you want me here. And come in. In the beauty of holiness, the splendor of holiness, the holy attire, the robe of righteousness which he puts on us, it enables us to come into his presence. The Bible says, read it, didn't we, when we talked about prayer, come into his presence with boldness, openness, frankness, candidness. How? Because the blood has made the way. Blood has made it possible, Hebrews. So we'll be coming to worship. And again, thankfully, the Bible doesn't give us that word. And of course, worship can mean lots of things. I look reading an article where they did a survey of what people thought worship was, and goodness knows what. But the Bible gives us many different aspects of worship. We just talked about those words in the New Testament, which covers every part of our lives, really, because it is a lifestyle. I am the Lord's, and I am his. And everything I do is to bless him and honor him and glorify him. And that changes everything, doesn't it? Because where I work, my family life, my work life, everything is to glorify him. And we'll just read a couple of verses in a moment. But first, what we have some New Testament. Of course, we have Old Testament sacrifices, which were animals. But they were metaphors, shadows of what God wants for us. What's the first sacrifice that God longs for? Romans 12, 1 to 2.
Living sacrifices. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will.
Get 11 chapters where we were, where we would be without the Lord, where we are now with the Lord. And then he says, now therefore. Therefore is a connecting verse, a word, isn't it? Therefore, after those, what should my response be? Well, my reasonable spiritual response is what? Living sacrifices. Here I am, Lord. If that's what I was, that's what you've done for me, that's who I am now in you, I give you my life, I surrender to you. It's reasonable. And of course, if you, depending on which translation, it's worship, but it's also service. What is he trying to say? It's that hired servant, where our lives and lifestyle is an offering, is a worship to him in every part, because now I'm surrendered to him, complete surrender to him. Worship someone said, again, William Temple, for worship is the submission of all our nature to God. It's the quickening of our conscience by his holiness, the nourishment of mind with his truth, the purifying of our imagination by his beauty, the opening of the heart to his love, the surrender of the will to his purpose, and all of this gathered up in adoration, the most selfless emotion of which our nature is capable, and therefore the chief remedy for that self-centeredness which our original sin and the source of all actual sin. That's interesting. Worship takes us from ourselves, opens us to the beauty of God, the majesty of God, and cleans us up, doesn't it? That sin, that we see it as it is, and it causes us to say, Lord, that's got to go. That sin's got to go. Clean me up, cleanse me. First sacrifice is surrender. Let's read Colossians 3, 23-24.
In all the work you are doing, work the best you can. Work as if you are doing it for the Lord, not for people. Remember that you will receive your reward from the Lord, which he promised to his people. You are serving the Lord Christ.
So very clear, isn't it? He's talking to the church. He says, look, we are the body of Christ. We are the example. We are his, and everything we do reflects on him, isn't it? And that we understand that. We've got kids, working with kids for years and years. And the first thing I always used to ask them, oh, what's your name? Where are you from? Who's your mum and dad? Usually who's your dad, isn't it? Years gone by. Sadly, can't really say that so much these days. Who's your dad? So as soon as you hear their surname and who their dad is, you've got to quickly got a great picture of what they're going to be like or what they should be like. And if you can say to them, oi, I'll have a chat to your dad about you, and that's the end of it, isn't it? Because in our day, if they said who you were, right, I'll see your dad about you. I'm okay now, yeah, I'm going to behave. Because we're reflection, and you see, everything we do, that's why he said, work at it as to the Lord. Even in the most difficult hardships, I read maybe a quote after about Livingstone. And he said, love, please don't say this is sacrifice. I remember Livingstone went to Africa when Africa wasn't like today. And I think malaria, got attacked by a lion, and goodness knows what. One side was all lame because of the lion attacked him. He said, don't ever say, this isn't sacrifice. This is a blessing, he said. Because the Lord has called me and used me and caused me to call the gospel. He didn't see hardly anyone saved either, did he? He said, this is a blessing. Don't ever say this. The Lord God Almighty said, when we understand that he's come into our lives, nothing is a sacrifice. It's all a blessing, even though it's difficult, he said. He uses it maybe, I quote that Sunday, but everything we are is for him. Okay, here we are. The nitty gritty now, other gifts, other sacrifices. Philippians 4, 18-20.
I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all my needs according to the riches of his glory in Jesus Christ. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen.
That gift, that monetary gift you give, was a sacrifice, was an offering, was an object of worship. Remember, again, we think we're doing God a favour. Remember, everything we are is given by him, isn't it? Nothing is ours. We take nothing with us. We are just stewards. So that's why we give. That's why we give. And again, going back to thinking, if our affection, using our abilities, everything we have, we work for money. That's how we do it. But then we say, Lord, you've given me this. Here we are. Give it to you. And he said, it's a sweet smelling savour to the Lord that we give. Remember, it's not ours, it's his. But we will be judged on our stewardship and how much we give to him. Only, of course. But it's all his. So when we think we give in a little bit, remember God says, you can give a bit more, Dave. Squeeze it out. Give yourselves completely to the work of the Lord, he says. Give yourselves completely to me. Sacrifice, that gift. Maybe he's prompting us even this year. Because sometimes we can, what does Jesus say? Do we give out of our abundance? And when that widow came, she gave out of her poverty all that she had. And we're not in America, so we don't talk a lot about money in Britain, but we retract. But when Jesus talked a lot about money, Jesus, because he understood that that defined us in one sense. And he said, don't store up wealth here. Give it away. What does that mean? I mean, insurance, we have pensions. It doesn't mean that at all, does it? He said, Lord, this is all yours. Guide me. He's given us certain parameters already, isn't he? At the tithe. But there's offerings and over and above that, isn't it? Dear me. Oh, Lord, help us. Remember, that's when we give, sometimes we don't take an offering in the church. We decided that many years ago. But sometimes we miss out because sometimes when we physically give, that's to worship, isn't it? That which is, in a sense, not mine, but is mine. I'm giving to you, Lord. It's a physical thing. And sometimes that can be important. Hebrews 13. Here we have three sacrifices here. Hebrews 13, 15 to 16.
Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased.
So again, we have the vertical horizontal here, don't we? Love God with all your heart, so there's our praise. Oh, Lord, the lips of our praise. Power of our words, isn't it? Power of words changes our thinking, sometimes our feelings, because sometimes we read this morning, we can be quite negative. Some of us are negative, pessimists, instead of being realists and preaching and speaking the word of the Lord, isn't it? What does the Lord say? The Lord says this, not what I think, what I feel, and all those things. And the power of praise. Praise is so powerful, isn't it? Why? Because we're taking ourselves from here and we're looking up. It's a great ability to take our minds and our hearts and our focus. What did he say? Keep your eyes, just read it, Hebrews 2, keep your eyes on Jesus. How do we do that? By changing our thinking, preaching the word, speaking the word, and praise. Lord, you are mighty. You are powerful. You are magnificent. And you're my Father. Praise him. Pray. That's, and of course, he says a sacrifice of praise because very often, and we've all done it, don't feel like it, or don't want to, this and that. And we've all been there, haven't we? And the devil would love us not to praise. But open your mouth, start praising him, and sometimes it is a sacrifice with all the difficulties going around, but it's necessary, and it's an offering. It's a sacrifice, an offering. The other one there is communication. It means fellowship. Fellowship is a sacrifice. It's an offering to God. And when people say they don't need to come or don't need to be in church, they misunderstand the word of God completely, because the Bible says this is an offering. It's a sacrifice where we commune with one another, because the Bible says Jesus went around and did good to all those. And so fellowship is an offering. And, of course, good works, good deeds. He's created us not just to worship him and know him, but to show him. There are things day by day that God presents us with to be able to show him, to share with others, to do good deeds and all those things. I think, how many times we missed it, didn't we? How many times have we haven't given that person those things value and elevated them and showed them Jesus in their lives? The question is, I suppose, and a good question, is he our primary purpose? Is he who he should be in our lives? What do you think of most? What do you love most? When you let your mind drift and wander, where does it naturally gravitate to? An interesting question. What is it that we really worship? If we look at if you look at your checkbook, your schedule, your diary, that will tell you what you love, what you spend your most time and money on. Ah, interesting. That he will be who he should be. Little boy came outside the church one day and Satan was standing out on the pavement outside the church. Little boy said, he was singing and worshipping inside. Does that bother you? No, he said, don't bother me. He said, they get that way on a Sunday. He said, they'll be all right. They come Monday morning. He said, it's just a little bit of a habit they've acquired. I think that's a lot of truth in that. Old man had a dream about his church. And an angel escorted him to his church one Sunday. and the musicians were there, and they were playing. Oh, they were getting stuck in, and they were singing, and the church was singing. Oh, the gusto in the musicians and the instruments and the songs. He could see that, but he heard no sound. The congregation was singing, but it was muted. He couldn't hardly hear anything. Maybe a voice here, a voice there, but nothing. The congregation was singing, but the sound was utterly muted. Then the minister rose to speak. His lips moved, but there was hardly anything. A little volume, he couldn't hear anything. In amazement, the man turned to the angel. He said, what does this mean? What do you say? He said, well, this is what it sounds to us in heaven. This is what it sounds like to us in heaven. We hear nothing. There's nothing to hear. These people are engaged in a form of worship, but their thoughts, their hearts are on other things, and their hearts are far away from me. And that's a challenging thought to finish on, but so important. We are called, our main goal in life is to know our God, is to worship Him. It's our very life, is to an offering to glorify Him. And oh yes, help us, Lord, not to be distracted, diverted, not just to be words, because some of us are pretty good with words, and that doesn't mean a thing. When we get to heaven, and He's very clear, Jesus said, our lives, our hearts, our being, love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Everything about us, gathered together, disciplined, intentional, isn't it? We talk about intentionality day by day, that we step into His will, listening to Him, led of Him. Oh, help us to be, our lives to be worshipful and honouring to Him. Bless the Lord. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. To find out more about our church, including our service times, visit www.oakdalechristiancentre.org.